good morning to you. Hope you're having a fabulous Friday. Give yourself a pat on the back. You made it through the week. Dave Ennett, are you patting yourself on the back?
Too hard there.
You deserve. Hey, you deserve kudos every day, sir. You're fantastic. If you're working a traditional work week, you've made it. We're going to help you get through, start your Friday off right, and hopefully head you straight into the weekend. We've got our whole crew here this morning.
You're not Steve.
I know, I'm not Steve. Yeah. This is not Steve Cochran's voice. It's because he is out sick today. We are sending our well wishes to Steve Cochran. He has a cold. Steve, we want you back here Monday, healthy.
Yeah, he was hacking up along yesterday. Yeah.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, as he always is.
He's got the sniffles.
This is the voice of G. Suki, otherwise known as G, and I'm over my three-month mark with you guys.
What?
Yeah.
Already?
Yes. I mean, have you enjoyed having me here?
No, we love having you here. Are you kidding?
I'm teasing. Thank you.
You wake us up every morning.
Aww. Time flies when you're having fun.
Thank you. Well, thank you guys for having me and putting up with me. Okay, so I'll be in for Steve today. I think we have a lot to cover. I want to check in with what everybody's doing for the weekend, but maybe we can get to that later on the show.
Sure.
Super Joe wants to keep me on time. He's holding my hand throughout this. He's such a superior technical director. So shall we start the top six at six?
Do it.
Now for some more news. Ready?
Welcome to the Top 6 at 6.
What?
On the Steve Cochran Show.
That is great radio.
This is your first look at what people, animals, and assorted fruits and vegetables will be talking about today.
Here we go. Former Los Angeles Police Chief Charlie Beck will be announced as the interim Chicago Police Superintendent. Steve Grzanich, you got some more on this?
No, that's all I have. You know, the story yesterday, and I think it's probably going to be announced today, is that he will shadow Eddie Johnson, who's going to stay on through the end of the year, mm-hmm. to sort of get the lay of the land so that it'll be a smoother transition between the two leaders.
And this is not, he doesn't want to be the permanent chief, right? He's just interim.
Well, I don't know that. I have not seen that. I mean, I think I wouldn't say that. I think that there's a good possibility that he might throw his hat in the ring for it. I would keep an open mind on that.
Gotcha. Thanks for that clarification. Next, the company Transformco that owns Sears and Kmart plans to close more than one-third of its remaining large format stores less than a year after they survived bankruptcy. Set to close are 51 Sears stores and 45 Kmart locations. Two of those stores are in Illinois. Next, Airbnb says it will spend the next year verifying that all 7 million of its listings are accurate and that the homes and rooms being offered for short-term stays meet basic quality standards. Now, the company is trying to improve user trust and make it easier for guests and hosts to report problems and obtain refunds when things go wrong. The changes were announced after Vice News uncovered a rental scam that happened in Chicago. Have you guys Airbnb'd it?
I don't. My kids do it all the time. It's all they do.
I have, and I have to tell you, I have to ask this question. Why weren't they doing this all along? Wouldn't that have been made, been made easier if they'd been doing this all along?
Well, I assume that they were always making sure that the listings were accurate so you didn't show up at like what you would think is going to be this gorgeous townhouse and it's like this little shack or something.
Yeah, but that Vice story, everybody go read that Vice story if you use Airbnb, because it really is kind of frightening the way that there was sort of a bait and switch kind of situation that really was dramatic.
Well, I know there have been in the news too for all of these house parties that people are having in Airbnbs, and it's kind of, you know, upsetting neighbors of people that rent their places out on Airbnb.
Yeah, and people have been finding hidden cameras in Airbnbs, and there've been a whole list of things.
Oh, yeah,
that
always look
have.
For those when you go.
No, that's so scary. Yeah. What, Mary Vandeveld? Where would be the first place you would look for a hidden camera?
In the bathroom.
Yeah, but you know, anymore you can get like GoPros and stuff that are so small.
Oh,
how would you even know?
Scary, guys.
Bedrooms, it is. Bathrooms.
Too scary. I got to move on.
Yep.
With Black Friday around the corner, the season of sales has just begun. Adidas is joining the party with a holiday savings deal where the more you buy, the more you save. It's just the sort of thing we all like. Today is the last day when you can score $20 off purchases of $100 or more, $50 off orders of $175 or more, and $100 off buys over $300 with code BMSM19. Again, that code is BMSM, as in Mary, 19. All right. Happy shopping.
Just Adidas, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Pringles has a new limited Thanksgiving flavors this year that was released yesterday. I am so excited about this story. Each Friendsgiving kit, that's what it's called, includes six different Pringles flavors: turkey, duck, chicken, stuffing, cranberry sauce, and pumpkin pie. The poultry The poultry flavored chips are meant to be
just repeat that again.
Okay.
Poultry flavored chips.
I think you like it, Dave. Flavored chips are meant to be stacked together for a turducken experience with the others as sides. The special kit was released yesterday on KelloggStore.com, and you can only order this online from what I read.
Now, that's a shame.
So do you just stack all six flavors and make one giant chip and have one?
Are they all in the same can together?
They're in a kit together, so it's not the round. It's not the cylinder, the tall cylinder. It's a flat kit, and it looks like a meal, like a TV dinner.
How much is that going to cost me?
That I don't know. But Super Joe, to answer your question, you should stack the turkey, the duck, and the chicken. That is the turducken. Probably the stuffing as well, because stuffing is usually in the poultry.
And then throw some pumpkin pie in there. Why not?
No, then you have those as a side. You have the cranberry sauce and the pumpkin pie. Steve Grzanich, you're the only one I think that would take this on.
These Pringles?
Yes.
I'll try them, sure.
Where's the green bean casserole Pringle?
Mary, that you're going to have to come up with those. All right, next. According to a new study, your odds of landing a partner for wintertime are pretty good. Chicago ranks fourth on the list of cities having the most fun and looking to casually date. I think we know what that means. Indianapolis took the top spot with Denver and San Diego ahead of us. You know what they say, that summer's all fun. It's all about being on the boats and in the playpen and all of this, on the patios, drinking on the rooftops. But everyone needs to kind of settle down in fall because we're going to be freezing to death and you need somebody to cuddle with.
Nesting.
Yes. Dave, you have a permanent nester. So do you, Mary Vandeveld.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But what do you think about this? This is a good story, right?
Yeah, I'm just surprised. And I've been to Indianapolis many times. It's a wonderful city.
What's going on Dave?
I'm a little surprised to see Indy at the top of the list.
There's an underbelly you didn't know about.
I guess not.
That is your top six at six.
That's it. That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Hey, listen, right after this, we're going to be taking the first call with Lou, so be sure to call 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Be sure to be the first one to get your first call in with Lou for any home ownership questions.
Hello.
It's time to learn it all. You're on Lou's First Call.
Hello.
Lou's First Call is sponsored by Gilkey Windows, Chicago's only family-owned, direct-to-consumer window manufacturer.
We look forward to talking to home improvement expert Lou Manfredini every Friday. Of course, he has House Smarts Radio right here on WGN Radio 720 AM tomorrow, Saturday morning, from what time to what time,
Lou? Is that tomorrow?
Yes, it is tomorrow. Oh, you better be here.
I always keep forgetting it's Saturday mornings. Do you ever get up in the morning and you don't know where you are, Dave?
yeah, pretty much every day.
Where am I?
Oh, it's Saturday. It's tomorrow morning, starting at 7 to 10 tomorrow.
Awesome. Okay, so we have your first call. Here is Brian. Hi, Brian from Rogers Park. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, what's been going on with you? What's your question for Lou?
Oh, Lou, I've got a problem with my garage door opener. It's happened in the past. I've got a Genie garage door opener. It just doesn't work. In the past, you hit the start button and press that for a while till it flashes and have my remote opener. And it's just not, and press the remote opener button. And eventually it links and it works. It's not happening for me this time.
How old is that unit?
Oh my. 20 plus years.
Okay. And do you know on that unit when the door, you know, when the door is closed, do you have two little eyes that are facing each other?
Yes, I do.
You do. Okay. And have you inspected to make sure that those things are aimed properly? Typically on those eyes, there's a little green light. And they, you know, they have a little clamp, a little bracket that's mounted to the track itself. And those two eyes have to be looking at each other and pointed in the right direction. And you should have a green indicator light on both sides, meaning that they're pointed correctly. If they're not, that can cause some intermittent activity from the transmitter. That's one thing to check. And so I would check that first. Then as far as the transmitter, I'm certain you've probably done things like change the batteries already and done that.
Yes, I have.
Okay. If you realigning the lighting system there doesn't help, and or now you've done the batteries and you've probably unplugged the unit and plugged it back in, then you just might have some transmission problem. You can buy a new controller. No. You can buy a new controller without having to change the box, meaning that you'd get new remotes and a new transmitter that you would mount on the system, and then the... If you follow the, you know, the button you have on the wall, there's wires that are stapled to the inside. There's two little contacts that it goes to you know, engage the opener. Does that switch work no matter what?
Oh, the switch on the wall? Yes, yeah. It does.
Okay. So if you buy a new transmitter and you connect the wires to that same two contacts and you use the two remotes, then you'll eliminate the remote that you have, whatever the controller and transmitter's inside the Genie unit. Now you're just operating with new remotes. Now, by the time you do all that, I mean, that new transmitter may cost you $100.
Yes.
A new opener is $200.
Right.
For 25-year opener, I'd replace the opener.
Gotcha. So first and foremost, check the eyes on the floor and make sure they're lighting and functioning. Second option, get a new transmitter. Third, get a new everything.
Correct.
Wow.
Okay.
Brian, you are an excellent listener, and I like how you organized all of the points that Lou made here. And
he's writing them all down.
Step one, step two, yep. Step three.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
I like that.
So that's not terrible news, Brian. I mean, this is very good. First, hopefully it'll be just the first step, and that's all you'll need.
Right. Many times it is.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, you
thank
got it.
You.
Have a great day.
Thanks for calling in, Brian. So, Lou, with the weather changing so quickly and people probably not being prepared for it to get this cold, what are some of the things that people need to sort of check on?
I'll tell you exactly what they need to check on, because I was driving in this morning and I looked at my indicator on the car. It said it was 19 degrees. Everybody still has their garden hose connected to the side of the house.
Oh.
I have one. I have one I did disconnect, but
and
the other
the
one
other
was
not.
Stuck.
And so the problem with that is with those garden hoses still connected, even though you may have a frost-proof hose bib on the outside, the water can freeze inside the hose right at the end, and then it can travel up into that pipe that's part of the frost-proof system. And here's the risk in all this. It can crack that pipe, and you won't know that it's cracked until the spring when you turn the hose back on.
Oh, my.
So okay. Everyone right now listening, before you go to work or you're home today, and you're probably going to need a pair of pliers because it's so cold, grab that hose and just disconnect it. You don't have to put it in if you don't want, because the hose is probably frozen, but just disconnect it from the spigot.
I'm leaving right now.
You should have seen Dave's
face. I'm going to take a personal day.
Is it too late for that?
Right. Mary, I know you had something. Can you do it pretty quick?
Yeah, just quick. Lou, you know, our basement flooded recently because of roots in the clean-out whatever valve thing. Anyway, so we're having people come over and check it out. Last guy came over. He said he wants to pick up the house because our house is sinking because it's over 100 years old. Mm-hmm. He wants to pick up the house on one side and put that membrane down or something to prevent water coming through the cement blocks, because they're porous and they're, you know, it's getting through. What do you think about that? These first guys come over so far.
I mean, and we know you're in Villa Park, and the soil conditions there are tough. A lot of people have that issue with the soil conditions out there. The membrane part of it with a foundation that's made out of block, it is super porous. That is a huge job. And you might, if it were me, I would get a second opinion to do some perimeter drain tile on the inside with a sump pump to manage the water, as opposed to lifting up the house and trying to create a membrane situation. Because with block, you get a lot of movement. Now, that's not saying that you don't need to support that, and you can do things like what they call push piers that go down into the bedrock and then they anchor underneath there. But I would stabilize the home, and then I would do perimeter drain tile to manage the water, and that way you don't have any concern.
Okay, I'll tell my husband.
Yeah, keep working.
Doesn't Mary, sound good.
Make that his, put that on top of
That's
the list.
That's a lot harder than the garage door
opener.
I know,
yeah, this is a project.
Oh,
this
poor Mary.
Massive project.
Oh, well, thank you, Lou. We really appreciate you calling in.
Thanks, All right, it's Saturday
Don't
tomorrow,
Don't forget,
I think.
Tomorrow's 7 Saturday.
O'clock.
You got to
right,
be
I'll
here.
Wake up.
Okay, Lou's First Call is sponsored by Gilkey Windows, independently verified to be one of the country's most energy-efficient windows.
6:37, the Steve Cochran Show for Friday morning. Along with the Jisoo Yee, Dave Ennett. Steve is under the weather and out this morning. And always a pleasure to welcome Brian Bickle to the studio. Longtime friend of the show and the radio station. But it's even nicer when he brings his lovely wife Amanda here this morning to talk about the great work of the Brian and Amanda Bickle Foundation. Welcome. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing great.
Wonderful.
You look so fantastic for so early in the morning.
We're back home. We're an hour ahead, so we're ahead of you guys.
Head start.
Just flew into town. Brian, former Blackhawk. And, you know, the thing that I still can't quite get my hands around is the idea that the Blackhawks' 2010 Stanley Cup was 10 years ago this season. And I mean, you were just getting started. You were a part of that, but you were kind of just getting your career off the ground.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. 10 years from the first win we had in the city for the Hawks. But, you know, it's kind of cool. You know, they're doing a thing for the whole year. They're bringing in players, and they're doing different tributes of the season. I know during the convention they're doing a bunch of stuff, so to be a part of that was kind of cool. I'm waiting for the 13 and the 15 so I can come back and do different things, but we're enjoying life. We're just hanging out.
So you guys
and the wife.
Yeah, you like getting back here, right? You just came in last night, Amanda?
Yeah, we love being back here. I mean, it definitely feels like a second home to us. So any chance that we get to come back, we're right on it.
Well, thank you guys for giving back so much. Love that you set up a foundation. And tell us about this new project that you have, Bix Pits.
Yeah, so Bix Pits actually is one of our oldest running programs where we feature adoptable dogs in a calendar every year. It has gotten, you know, a lot of dogs, over 200 dogs adopted out over the past, I think, about 8 years that we have done it. So it's been great. Typically, we will feature, you know, athletes or celebrities that will, you know, stand in with these adoptable dogs. However, this year we decided to make it a little bit different, and we wanted to showcase first responders. So the real, you know, celebrities of the city.
I love that. I love that, you know, everyday heroes that give so much to the community, along with dogs that are often, a lot of people have misconceived ideas about pit bulls. But I have friends who have pit bulls, and they say they're the most lovely dogs you can adopt.
Yeah, no doubt. They really are. I think that things are turning around, and people are really starting to realize that. But yeah, it's been a long haul.
You're also in the calendar, which you've come out with every year. I think this is the sixth one. But there's something a little different this year with the first responders as well.
Yes, we're really excited about that, you know, to showcase, you know, real life heroes in the city and also get these dogs adopted out.
How did you select which first responders were going to be in the calendar?
You know what? A lot of people were wondering if we were going to go based on looks and that kind of stuff and make it that kind of thing. We really didn't. We had people, a lot of people didn't even send in photos, and we just kind of looked at their story. And so we're going to showcase and put a little blurb about like who they are or what they did for the city as well.
Now, did any of the first responders that posed with the dogs end up adopting the dog that they posed with?
We had a lot of them like have interest and be really excited about it, but so far I haven't heard anything.
How many dogs do you guys have?
We have one. We lost one a couple years ago, but we still have one.
So when did you guys first fall in love with pit bulls? How did this happen that you know, your eyes were open to...
Yeah, so it was about our dog that we have, the one, she's about 14 years old. So it was about 14 years ago when we saw her.
What's her name?
Bailey.
Aww.
And we kind of saw her. She was kind of being mistreated, and we decided to kind of take her away. And so we rescued her. And from then, right after that, in Canada, the pit bull ban started. At that point, we had to, you know, put a muzzle on her. She was only a little puppy. She was not allowed to go to dog parks. She wasn't allowed to go to puppy class. No one would accept her. All of these things, and we couldn't understand why, because, again, she was this tiny, cute little puppy. And it grew from there and started to get worse, you know, the misconception of who she was. And at that point is where we start, like, fell in love with her and started to realize that people had this, you know, misconception about these dogs. And that was when we came to Chicago and decided we needed to be a voice.
Well, you've got first responders, you know, from lots of places, from Chicago, Morton Grove, Romeoville, Homewood, Frankfurt. Any particular first responder that you'd like to share their story with us?
Yeah, I mean, well, we have so many great ones. I don't want to throw it all out.
Okay,
got to
okay.
get the calendar.
Where do we get the calendar? where can we buy it?
Yeah, so you can buy it online at BickleFoundation.org, and they'll be available mid December.
Yeah, Dave.
Brian, you look great. Everybody, I think, is aware that you have been battling multiple sclerosis now for, what's it, about 3 years?
Yeah,
since
going
you've
on
been
3 years
diagnosed?
Now.
How you feeling? How you doing with it?
Oh, feeling great. You know, obviously there's good days, there's bad days. But overall, it's, you know, it's been good. But it's been tough. At the same time, that first year coming out of, you know, playing was the toughest. You miss the game. You miss your buddies. You miss the road. You miss the fans and stuff like that. Mentally, that was a tough task on, you know, us. And, you know, I think things are getting better every day, every year. My health is good. I just need to stay active and eat the right things, not overstress, because that does cause symptoms, which I have a 5 and 3 year old, which they don't do any of that. Yeah. But overall,
not
it's been pretty good. Transition's been it's been getting better over the months, and just spending time with my lovely wife that I usually get to, you know, leave to go on the road. Now we're always near each other. We've been together for, I don't know, 20 years now or something like that.
Yeah, you guys were like high school sweethearts,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
true love.
So how do you spend your time? Are you fishing?
I guess. Fishing. I do love fishing. You know, just being a dad. You know, those things that I get to miss when I was playing, I get to do it now, which is, you know, see these kids grow, and they've been a handful at times, but it's been special. Obviously, fishing is my big passion in the summertime. But our new thing, we just bought a cottage we want to use through our foundation to provide retreats with people with MS, the people that are, you know, never had the opportunity because they're, you know, stable, is worrying about their MS and worrying about that. So our next goal back home to give these families a retreat, and we're gonna, you know, do it through our cottage and do it that way.
Yeah, just kind of like a getaway for people that, you know, really need to take their mind off of things. And so we will bring them in free of charge and provide them with activities and that kind of stuff that is all geared towards, you know, things that people with MS can do.
Tremendous.
That is absolutely incredible. Thank you guys so much for being with us today. Brian and Amanda Bickle with the Brian and Amanda Bickle Foundation. Bix Pits, the calendar. It's hot, everybody. You want one. It's going to be a great stocking stuffer.
Great
for the holidays, right? And where can people go find it again?
Yep, BickleFoundation.org.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Amanda. Thank you, Brian. We're about to enter the third week of November, and that is scary for me because usually I am running very behind on all of my holiday shopping and everything that I need to do. Dave, you confessed to me yesterday that you normally don't do any of the shopping.
Well, no, it's actually, I'm very upfront about it. Yeah, because I don't know, my wife and I don't really shop much for each other. We shop for the kids, and that's
right.
And she does most of that.
Right. Do you end up giving gift certificates or cash, or do you actually give physical, tangible gifts?
Kind of both.
Oh, kind of both. Okay.
Yeah, kind of both. Because, you know, I think the kids always have something they're saving for, so they'd like a few bucks for that. Like, you know, maybe for a trip or something, or my son needed some hockey or golf equipment, so he wanted a gift card.
Well, there are those people that get all of their shopping done ahead of time, and they're ready, yes. They're prepared for the holidays, they're on it, they're on top of things. If you're one of those people, I want to hear from you, because I want to get to know you a little bit better. 312-981-7200. Mary Vandeveld, I was about to go to you. I was wondering if, because I feel like you're a very organized person.
I am usually, but I tell you, with Christmas, I get behind. I really do. Because cards and, you know, all the other stuff you have to do, the baking, the cards, the shopping, you know. So I'm always behind. But I've been to a few craft shows, so I always find cool stuff at craft shows. So I've already started.
I'm the person that ends up sending out the New Year's Eve, like New Year's card at the end of January. Because I don't get any of it out. But here's a study. Do you know that most Americans are going to rack up more than $1,000 in holiday debt over the holidays, and instead of paying them off within 3 months as they should, most of them will end up carrying it for 5 months or even longer. And if you only pay the minimum payments, of course, because it's so easy to just put it on your credit cards, it could take more than 5 years. So I'm always looking for gifts that are affordable and that are fun to give. So I'm wondering if you would like any of these gifts. I found them on MSN.com. These are hilarious gifts, because I feel like if you can't give an expensive gift or something that people really want, just give them something funny. How about a Let's Funny Burrito Tortilla Wrap Blanket? This is a round blanket that looks like a tortilla, and you can wrap yourself in it.
Oh, I think
and
I've
look
seen
like
those.
A burrito.
See, people really already wrap themselves like a burrito, but now you'll actually look like one, which makes this gift so perfect.
So you could wrap yourself in a red blanket and then get inside this blanket so it looked like salsa.
Yes, absolutely.
The only downside to that, if you have the flu or something and you're sick and you're like looking at a burrito.
Well, it's just the tortilla wrap. So it does really look like a tortilla wrap. It's only $17.99. It's pretty funny. You know, Keanu Reeves has made a really big comeback. Also making headlines with his new girlfriend that people are confusing with Helen Mirren, although they're not the same person. There's a new pillow with a Keanu Reeves face on it with the sequins. You know the pillows where you can smooth the sequins one way and it's a sequin?
Those are cool.
But then when you smooth the sequins the other way, it reveals a photograph and it's Keanu Reeves' face.
So I can lay on Keanu Reeves' face?
Yes, I know. Oh. What dreams are made of. Only $22. We've also got this awesome, knit cap that also has a knit beard as well. And it actually looks like a grown man's beard. But it's for, especially for little kids, and it's super cute and it keeps their faces warm.
Kind of looks like Justin Kaufman.
Yeah. It's only $18.99. Okay. So I think I have somebody, right? Hi, Pat.
Hello. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine.
So you live in Hoffman Estates, and I am hearing that you are already, you've done your shopping. You're on top of things.
Yeah, not quite all of it, but, you know, I was shopping this summer. You know, take advantage of sales. I always think of Christmas in July. And when you've got sales, you know, the merchandise from the summertime that goes on sale, you can't buy that for people, you know, around here. You have to be, you know, really particular about what you're getting. But, no, I like to start in July, and I've got my daughter is already bought for, and I don't have many people that I need to shop for. You know, I have a summer home up in Eagle River, not too far from where Mary goes, you know, too, in the summer. I like to give business to, you know, little towns and places like Eagle River and
me
buy
too.
Stuff
That's fine.
There.
Yeah.
And then you have to have an envelope that you mark, and you put your receipts in there, and then you mark down the name of the person, and those receipts go in there so that whenever you have to return something, you're all ready with that.
Pat, are you somebody that's organized in every aspect of your life?
Sort of. You know, I can't say in everything. I try. You know, I really do try.
But, Pat, this is the problem I have. When I buy early, I forget where I hid these gifts or where that I even bought them, and then all of a sudden you forget, right?
Well, you know what? On that envelope, I mean, you've got to put the person's name, and then the receipt goes in there, and then you have to put on that envelope where you put stuff. You've got to stash it somewhere in a closet.
It's a good idea.
That master envelope is really important.
Okay, I'll get on that.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Pat. We really appreciate you calling in.
Oh, you're welcome. Happy shopping to everybody.
Have fun at the cabin.
And it sounds like, Mary, you might be like a squirrel. You squirrel things away and then you can't find them afterwards.
Well, yeah, you just, I don't know, you buy things so early that you forget you bought them. and then you go to wrap presents. You're like, oh, I forgot about this. Now the kid, you know, this kid has too many presents. Or if you're trying to, you know, make it fair or whatever, which is always a challenge.
A couple of more funny but cheap gifts, stocking stuffers. There's bacon air freshener in the shape of bacon. It smells like bacon. Would you like that in your car?
Bacon?
The fresh smell of bacon? What? Yes, bacon? Exactly.
Brisanna's just
the maple
woke up.
Kind?
Yep. There's a squirrel in underpants, a deluxe air freshener as well for $4.75.
Wait.
It's
what
super
was that?
Cute. It's a squirrel air freshener.
What's with the underpants?
Well, I don't know. See, it's a funny. It's a very funny thing. And then, for somebody that really enjoys playing board games, there is a lightning reaction shocking game for $34.99. If you hold on to these little handles that are metal shaped, and then the game, as you play the game, there's a literal shock if you get the answer wrong.
Oh, I like that.
It's very sounds like mild, operation. Though.
What's the name of that one again?
It is called the Lightning Reaction Shocking Game. Okay. Coming up after the news, we've got Coach Fitz, Northwestern University football coach.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
Friday morning, we visit with the head football coach of the Northwestern Wildcats, Pat Fitzgerald, here on the Steve Cochran Show. Dave Ennett, Jisuke. Steve is off this morning under the weather. Coach, good morning. How you doing?
Yep. When we get the win, we're not going to have our good friend on anymore, so this could be a new tradition. I love it.
Yeah, didn't this happen once before where Steve was sidelined? He showed up on the injury report, and then you guys went out and won?
Yes, and we debated whether or not having him on again, and now look where we're at.
Well, it is the show. The name is his show, right? The Steve Cochran Show. So I guess we don't really have that option. Look where you are. It's been a tough season, but you said this week, and if I'm quoting you correctly, you are 1,000,000% confident that you're going to get this team back to where it's been the past several years. Where do you get that confidence?
Well, the guys are working so hard. I mean, it would be one thing if they weren't putting the effort in during the week to prepare. And I just believe in them so much. Obviously there's some things I think we can get corrected now over the last month of the season. And there's some other things they're going to have to, get corrected here in the off season coming up, in a couple months. So, bitterly disappointed with our record. There's no doubt, this time last year, we were getting ready to, go and hopefully put ourselves in position to win a Big Ten championship. So, we'll be back there. I know that for sure, and feel very confident about that.
It's the nature of sports. Things are so unpredictable. I mean, you're not the only program in the Big Ten that I think if you'd looked before the season, you'd try to figure out where teams are going to be. The team you're playing tomorrow, Purdue, is another one that I think people had higher hopes for. Nebraska, I think, was projected to finish higher, but injuries have a role in all of that. You haven't been in this position in several years, though, where you're out of bowl consideration. So how do you reset your goals now for this final stretch?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, number one, you take a look at what you can control, and that's, like I said, already getting ready and getting prepared. The guys have done a nice job of that this week. And then, we talked about sending our seniors out the right way and playing for our families, which are the Northwestern family, and for our family back home. And, as long as I'm the head coach here at Northwestern, we're going to have, those great last names of all of our guys in the back of our jerseys for a reason. That's everyone that's helped us get here. I don't want our guys to ever forget that, and I want them to take pride in everybody that's helped them get here. And I know they all take pride in watching our guys compete and play. And it's time to give them some happiness. It's time to give them some fun. We've given them a ton over the, especially our seniors' careers. And just want to send the guys out the right way.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you. Following up on that, how do you keep it positive? How do you make sure that they're feeling good, especially as well, because you're making sure that they're getting a great education on top of getting to play college football?
Yeah, well, from a positive standpoint, again, that's a choice. Some people look at, what is it, the old school glasses half full or half empty. I've always been a it's all the way full. I just drink some of the water, so we'll fill it back up kind of guy. I'm a half full guy. And, always approach it that way. And there's been a lot of, you know, challenges this year, but also a lot of growth from a lot of our younger players, and that's what gives me a lot of excitement for the future. You know, I think our O-line has been really consistent all year. This is something that we worked diligently on in the offseason, and I think Jared Thomas has done just a terrific job leading that group, and there's other things, but, you know, as we go now into November, we've got, you know, some guys banged up, and it's an opportunity for us and even more young of our younger guys to step up, learn, grow, get better, and it will help us without a doubt for the future.
Yeah, he lost two more defensive starters last week, and it seems to be that kind of year where you've lost some key guys, but nothing new, and then you have some guys come in. You have a freshman defensive lineman who we've seen a few times this year, but he comes in out of Tamawa Adebore. There's a play-by-play announcer's dream. But he comes in, gets a sack for you. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, we call him Tommy, so yeah. Well, I'll make it easier there for you, Dave. But,
thank you. Appreciate
Yeah, yeah. No, Tommy's got a bright future, and as I said on Monday, the future is now. He and, you know, Jason Gold are two true freshman defensive linemen. You know, have played a little bit, and now they're going to have to play a lot. And, you know, it's not necessarily what we expected, but it's the opportunity for them, and it's going to make them better in the long run. I mean, I remember back when I played as a true freshman, you know, I was not ready to play, but, you know, the way and the issues that happened for the team, I needed to play. And I think in the long run, it made me more prepared. It helped me understand just how hard I had to work in the offseason and be ready.
Yeah, I remember calling that game. Who's that 51 kid?
Yeah, should he be playing guard?
So Purdue tomorrow, and you and Jeff Brohm, the coach at Purdue, you guys can probably compare notes on injuries at this point, right?
Yeah, you know, and I don't think either of us are going to make excuses. You know, it's a nature of our beast and our game, and you know, we've got to get the next group of guys ready and prepared, and you know, those guys have got to step up and play, and, you know, it started for us right away in the opener, and it was kind of the same way for Purdue, and then they had a really tough play when they lost Sindelar and Rondell Moore on the same play against Minnesota. So, you know, two teams that are hungry for a win, they still have the opportunity potentially to get into the postseason. So we know we're going to be playing a very hungry team. And you never know. We get to five wins. You never know. A couple of years ago, there weren't enough bowl-eligible teams. And a couple of five-win teams, because of their academic progress rate, their academics, were able to get into bowl season. So we're playing for a lot, and it's exciting to be back at home and looking forward to our guys hopefully playing the best game of the year.
Okay, yeah, I forgot that. So I spoke too soon about the bowl stuff. Coach, tomorrow, 11 o'clock kickoff out of Ryan Field. We'll see you there. Good luck tomorrow, and we'll talk to you again next Friday.
Okay, thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great day. Go Cats. Bye-bye.
There he goes.
Coach Fitz, he's so remarkable. He's a really nice guy. Like, I just, I'm impressed.
You sound
by
surprised.
Him. No, I'm just so impressed. I've seen him do interviews. Yeah. I read that wonderful article that was about his wife and the kids in the Chicago Tribune a couple of weeks ago.
Even when he looks upset, he's not. Like last week when they were playing Indiana, it looked like he was upset with the referees, but really he was asking them about being on the Christmas list.
Yeah, he was. He said he did ask if they wanted to be on his Christmas card list.
Oh, yeah. Is that what was going on?
Yeah, I don't know why they would give him 15 yards for that.
Exactly.
Seems like a very polite request.
You know what? I'm so glad that I have you two to explain what's going on to me, you know? Although I feel like you might be fudging and lying a little bit.
That's what he said. We're not making that up, right, Joe?
Yeah, there's nothing that we can make up in that situation.
Last night, IES Abroad hosted their sixth annual student film festival at the Museum of Contemporary Art. And IES Abroad is a non-for-profit organization providing college students access to more than 400 study abroad programs in 85 global locations. We actually have the winners with us in studio, and also we have Richard Roper. Hi, Richard. You were the MC last night.
Hi, G. How are you doing?
Oh,
good morning.
Fantastic. So great to talk to you. You are the preeminent expert on movies and everything film.
Well, thank you. And I got to tell you, this student study abroad that IES does is so cool. And the students from all over the place submit their own films. And, G, you know this very well because you've worked in every facet of the media. It's amazing, though, what the next generation can do with the technology and their storytelling abilities. As you mentioned, I mean, I see, you know, 10 movies a week, you know, all the big budget films, all the Hollywood films, all the streaming efforts. And I'll tell you, these films, they look professional. This is not like a little home movie contest. Really impressive stuff.
So how did you get involved with this incredible organization?
Well, they found me because they're so smart. They knew if they really wanted to get someone involved who knows about movies, why not come to me? So, yeah, they reached out to me last year, and I actually had a chance to go over and visit the whole organization here in their Chicago offices. And as you mentioned, this is a nonprofit, and it's all about giving students an opportunity to study abroad, which, of course, has been something that has been around for a long time, but they just do it in such a great way. And I talked to some of these students, even, you know, years afterward. You know how people love to talk about that one semester they spent studying abroad. It's not, obviously, you're going to study the culture, you're going to take classes, but it's about the experience that I think a lot of it is as much self-discovery as learning about whatever culture they're visiting.
Now, Rich, do you end up giving some critiques? Do you give advice? What do you do after you see the films?
Yeah, what we did actually at the event last night, G, was the top finalists were all there. The four filmmakers that made the final cut for the film. So we showed the films to a fantastic audience at the Museum of Contemporary Art, and then we did a Q&A on stage, just like I've done with anybody you can think of, from Scorsese to Spielberg to Tarantino. We sat on stage and I got to talk to them about their films, get to know a little bit about what they were thinking in the filmmaking process and why they made the movies they did. So it was really, really kind of a neat experience.
Well, Rich, we've got the grand prize winners, Chase Devins and David Smith, here with us. Congratulations, you two. Tell us what your film was about.
So our film...
Oh. Sorry, guys. Go ahead.
Our film was called Les Cinq Mois, or The 5 Months, and it was about Chase's good experiences and also his not-so-great experiences while he was studying abroad and how he then grew from those experiences.
Wow. And so can you tell us a little bit more? Like, is there a antagonist in the film? Does something dramatic happen?
Yeah, so I like to think the antagonist is kind of the world. We had almost like a significant event happen every single calendar month while we were there, which we decided to tie into the video with calling it the 5 months. Things such as me getting my passport swapped with a friend, getting my phone taken, a camera stolen, Notre Dame burned down while we were there.
Wow.
And to top it off, I broke my foot
last week
of my study abroad experience.
How did you do that?
I had a little run-in with one of those electric scooters and little faulty manufacturing and broke my foot on that.
So, Richard, for you, what set their film apart in your eyes?
Well, I got to give the guys a lot of credit because so many of these films are all beautifully done, but, you know, and what you'd expect, G, would be to see a lot of films that are very serious and sentimental. And these guys... they did that, but they also, most of it is very humorous. As they mentioned, you know, The Misadventures of Chase, it's almost like watching Planes, Trains, and Automobiles in Paris. But they put a nice touch on it where, again, you see that, yeah, all these terrible things happen, but it's gonna, you know, it makes for a great movie. But they even did a really kind of funny takeoff halfway through, almost on like those Mayhem type commercials where they had like kind of a public service announcement about not leaving your bag while someone asks you to take it. Insta. So I like the way that these guys had the confidence as filmmakers to say, let's make fun of ourselves. We'll grow through that. So it was really not only the best film, but by far, I thought, the most clever and the funniest.
Now, is this a way for you guys to remember your time there? Like, it's immortalized on film now.
Yeah, it was so great to go back and look through all the footage that Chase had shot throughout the time that we spent in Europe, and then sort of go back and relive our experiences through putting the video together.
Now, Rich, for you, I know that when you're watching a film, you can see a lot of promise in actors and actresses. You can see the new young ingenue or somebody that's breaking out, or that you say, hey, you've got to watch out for this person. Do you experience the same thing with filmmakers as well? Do you see something super promising in these two young gentlemen that we have in studio with us?
Oh, absolutely, G. And, you know, you'll see sometimes For example, with Pixar, when you see those little short films they do before the big blockbusters, those short films are often made by somebody who then goes on to do a feature film for Pixar or Academy Award nominated shorts. Same thing with these short films. You know, you can see the gift. It doesn't even take the full 5 or 6 minutes that these films run. You can usually tell within a minute or two, because it's not just about the story they're telling, but it's, they know how to frame, literally frame a shot. They know how to pace. There's a lot of editing, a ton of editing, especially in short films, that's super key. Now, I will say this, in terms of on-screen presence, Chase might want to have Adam Driver play him next time. Maybe that's going to step up on the acting part.
I think that's a compliment. Now, you guys, I always tell all the interns that I meet, and I've been lucky enough to work with many interns, that they should always do study abroad. I think it's one of the most important things. It's, you have the time to do it. You don't have the responsibilities. This is when you have to go and seize the opportunity to go and travel. Would you agree with that? And what was the most important lesson that you learned on your travels?
I would agree with that 100%. Study abroad, for me, I had this really big misconception about what it was. And so that was something that we really wanted to communicate with this film. It just seems like there's this idea that everything's going to be so grand and you're going to be living, you know, like some sort of like luxurious experience for 5 or 6 months of your life. But in reality, it is one of the best opportunities for you to get out in the world and experience things as a young adult with like not a lot going back on at home. So I would do it again, and I definitely miss my time in Paris.
Yeah, certainly. It's a great opportunity to reflect on the different aspects of yourself, because you're putting yourself somewhere that you don't really have a support network. So.
And then when you're back home, you see home in a different way, too, right? Through a new lens.
Oh, certainly. Coming back to the States after my IES abroad experience was very eye-opening. I saw basically everything in a different light.
So you're telling all the parents listening right now, parents, grandparents, if you have a young student in your life that wants to travel abroad, don't be afraid. Let them spread their wings and let them do it, right?
Yes, I would just let them put themselves out there, make mistakes, but it is in such a like safe environment for them to really learn from those mistakes. And that's what David and I did, and it was such a rewarding experience.
So, David, what was it like for you to have a renowned film critic like Richard Roper looking at your film and critiquing it?
Oh, it was so cool to be just up on stage with him when we were doing the Q&A. It was so incredible to get like that level of analysis from it.
And Chase, what about for you?
For me, it was just eye-opening to, you know, see one of my videos on the big screen. I had never seen that before. It's definitely a memory I'll have with me forever.
So, Rich, did you ever do travel abroad for you, for when you were in school?
You know, when I was in school, I went to the famed Twin Cities of Bloomington Normal. Central Illinois. But, you know, back to what the guys were saying, and this is something that's key, too, and you can, you know, people can check out IES, you know, study abroad. There's ways of getting there. You know, this is not just an elitist thing at all. You know, this is a democratic with a small D opportunity for people. There are ways to get there. And what the guy said, too, is so true. You know, do it now, I would say to young people. I said that to all my, you know, nephews and nieces when they were going through college or when they're about to. Because, as you know, G, if we're lucky enough to find work once we're out of school or have other responsibilities, mm-hmm. you're never gonna get that 5 months, you know, where you're gonna be able to do this. You know, when you're young is the time to do it. And as the guy said, it's something you'll treasure the rest of your life.
So, Rich, I hope you don't hate me asking you about movies, because I'm sure you get this everywhere, and hopefully you're not tired of it. And I know you're always on with Ro Khan talking about movies, but we've got about 30 seconds left. Can you recommend a movie that we have to go see this weekend?
You know, I think I might be in the minority on this one, because the critics have been kind of mixed. But every once in a while, I actually get really sentimental and corny. And there's a movie called Last Christmas coming out this weekend.
No, you with, really?
Yeah, Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones and Henry Golding, who was in Crazy Rich Asians. And it's completely corny and completely sappy. And you know what?
It's fantastic. I really loved it. We need a corny movie like this once every couple of years, and Last Christmas is that movie.
Rich, you should see the smile on G's face here. You just made her day.
Oh, me too. I'm so excited about this movie. I saw the previews. Oh, I want
to see it. Great Richard Roper has given me permission to go see The Last Christmas, so thank you so much. Thank you, Rich, for being with us, and thank you for your incredible work with IES Abroad. Please, if you're a parent, grandparent, listening, check this incredible organization out. It's definitely worth, I think it's worth the effort to go abroad. It's life changing. It's going to open up your world, right, guys?
Yes.
Okay, and thank you, Chase Devins and David Smith, the grand prize winners. And is there anywhere we can see the movie?
Yes, you can see it on IES Abroad's website.
IES Abroad. Okay, yeah. Check it out. Thank you so much.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
It's time for Dan Hampton.
The Hall of Famer, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Morning, Hamp.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, hold on. I got to turn the TV off.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, you're borrowing a page from Mitchell Trubisky. At least you have control over the TVs in your home, correct?
Well, you know, and I got to tell you, I've had texts and calls from people all over the country going, "What the heck is going on in Chicago?" It's just not a good look. You know, this is the franchise of Butkus, Obradovich, Bronco Nagurski, and we got a quarterback that's wearing hand warmers on a 60-degree day going, "Oh, I got to turn the TVs off." So they've got to find a way out of this mess, and the best way, find a way to win. And tomorrow is actually Sunday. Sunday is one of those days where we used to say, "Hey, it's all hands on deck. It doesn't matter how you feel, what you think. You got to play the game to win."
Yeah, you know, I've talked to people who were in the news conference the other day with Trubisky, and they think that perhaps the comment was maybe taken the wrong way. He was trying to make a, and I'm not defending him. I wasn't there. I don't know, but it was more he was trying to get the bigger point across that they're tuning out the criticism and they're concentrating on just trying to do the job. That's not an uncommon thing for athletes to say. Maybe his choice of words was a little bit uncommon. But I'm sure there were times when you were on teams when guys would even though now there's social media and it gets a little louder, the guys would like try to ignore the critics, right? I mean, if you had people harping on you.
Never once did you hear anyone ever say, "I want to go listen to a Wham song," or "We're going to go put on a Boys to Men video." There's certain things you just don't say.
Yeah.
And you don't go, "Oh, too many people talking negatively and we got to turn it off and put our earmuffs on and all that." Hey, you know what? Since the beginning of time, and you know, these kids, they need to understand something. They're not changing the world and they're not discovering the cure for cancer. And hey, this is a game, and you get a blessed opportunity to play it for just a short period of time in your life. But what you do is important because, hey, you know, you get a lot of people that pay. You know, every game they lose, and when that after the San Diego, or L.A. Charger, okay, L.A. Charger. Anyway, after that loss, I was shaking my head saying, all these people, they buy tickets, they hot dogs, they parking, blah, blah, blah. And then they go and see how, you know, a team that supposedly was projected to be very good and a team we can be proud of just fall apart in little pieces and do stupid thing after stupid thing. You start wondering, what are they thinking about? And see, that goes back to Trubisky's choice of, you know, trying to be funny. That's not something you can be funny about, especially when you're stumbling around playing the way he is. So, again, they need a brand new approach. And at some point, you know, think about this. 2 weeks ago, the head coach was telling the media, "Oh, I want Trubisky to go and watch the TV feed so he can see what we all see of how he looks scared and you know, gun-shy and kind of without confidence. And then now he's saying you can't – it's almost like the tail's wagging the dog. Instead of the team taking the reins and saying, hey, we're going to go out there and kick somebody's butt and beat somebody and then let the chips fall where they may, that's – you know, that would be highly preferable to – the people of Chicago. Hey, maybe the snowflake, attitude would prevail in Seattle, but not here.
Well, all right. Let's say that the Bears go out and beat a Lions defense that's not exactly overwhelming. That Trubisky had a huge day against a year ago this week at Soldier Field when he threw for 355 yards, I think, and three touchdowns. Bears rolled up 400 yards of offense.
And he ran for one, too.
Yeah. So you would think, Camp, this would be a get-well game for the Bears. But Matthew Stafford has been pretty good so far, and he's a veteran quarterback who knows how to win these kinds of games. So even if Trubisky has a big game, are you concerned at all about the Bears' defense going up against Stafford and a Lions offense, which maybe doesn't have a ton of weapons, but they've been good enough with a veteran quarterback back there?
Absolutely. When you're 3-5 and you're struggling and you lose to the Raiders, you lose to the L.A. Chargers, you almost lose to the Denver Broncos, who basically – they're starting a kid off the street at quarterback at this present time. Nothing is a given. Nothing is taken for granted. And sooner or later, you know, you expect your leaders. And remember a month ago when we're hearing about the, oh, players-only meetings, and we're going to decide who the leaders. Well, the leaders are supposed to become self-evident back in training camp. Oh, but that's right. Matt Nagy doesn't need training camp. We don't need the preseason. We don't need all that old-fashioned stuff. Well, evidently you do. And all that has to come to bear, no pun intended, on Sunday. This is where Khalil Mack has to be great. This is where Eddie Jackson has to be great. This is where Danny Trevathan has to be great. This is where Cody Whitehair has to be great. These are the guys that you look at, say, if you want to be a captain, you want to be a leader, get out there and lead. Make something happen. Hopefully, they will. And back to Trubisky, and yeah, his best day as a pro, in my estimation, was against this Detroit defense. But you know and I know, they've had that film on all week, and they will be ready for this offense. And, you know, it's funny how an offense becomes more emboldened the more confidence it gets. And how do you get confidence? By doing things the right way, the correct way, and scoring points. Something we haven't done all year. Again, from top to bottom, this is a game, this is a deodorant game. We can get well, we can smell good coming out of it. But at some point, you still have to roll up the sleeves, go out there and do it. Oh, and try not to, you know, put your hands in your pocket, your hand warmers so much.
All right, let me bring Super Joe. He had a quick point about the offense. Super Joe,
the tight ends combined for zero catches last week in Philadelphia. If they get more involved in the game, could that be part of the deodorant you're talking about?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what, Adam Shaheen is playing himself off this roster. I mean, he hasn't been good. Last week was chronically bad. But you know what? This is the same strain of offense from the Kansas City Chiefs with Andy Reid that is run in Philadelphia and now here with Nagy. And we saw the difference tight ends make. Go back and think about the two tight ends. I think they were targeted 16 times and caught 12 passes for well over 100 yards. They were the vibe of the offense that we lost to. So, yeah, that's what we need. That's what we should try to emulate. Will we? Can we? I don't know. We've got 7 tight ends on our roster, and not one of them can play. So sooner or later, we've got to identify who can play, and the guys that can't, we got to make changes.
All right, predictions. Super Joe.
I'm going to go with the Bears winning 20-17.
20-17. Viv.
13-20.
Who?
Bears.
Wait a minute. Who has 13 and who has 20?
Bears lose.
Bears lose 13. Ooh, gee.
I'll say 22-7.
Okay.
Bears win.
Hey, that works.
Okay.
I'm going to go Bears 20, Detroit 17. Third week in a row I've taken the Bears winning 20-17. It's got to happen eventually. Hap?
Yeah, I like that. You know, hey, let's say 15-12. Bears find a way to win finally after four straight losses. And this, you know, it's been a bad Rocktober. We need to wake up and start playing the game the way we did last year. So here we go.
Hallelujah. Talk to you Monday. And Sunday afternoon, Hamp and OB with Kaz, 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon, once the Bears and Lions are ducked. Hamp sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Hamp, a man with always has deodorant on, right, Dave? All right, now it's time to check in with your traffic
Don't
with Mary Vandeville.
Close.
Thank goodness.
I've been giving you some helpful hints and items that could be good for holiday shopping for stocking stuffers. I'm going to keep giving you a couple. What about HaHa Brands Snittens? Snittens, S-N-I-T-T-E-N-S. Get it? It's a combination of snot and mittens.
What?
And they're mittens that you can just, you know, use as a tissue.
Ew.
I love it. I think that's
really?
Only
I'm going to buy that.
I have a whole new image of you now, Viv.
$19.99. There's also...
Well, what is there? A Kleenex built into it?
No, it's just a very fuzzy... It's a snitten.
It's like what you do when you're a kid. You wipe your nose with your mittens.
Yeah, why don't you just do that?
Yeah, but that's not
right.
Something
Dave
you
is
would...
looking at me so weird.
Right. Why would you buy that?
Yeah. The,
it ends up happening where you don't have a tissue. You especially happens to me on the train. I'm on the train. I need a tissue so desperately. Okay. My nose is running. And then I'm like, what do I...
Okay, here's my question. You're going to spend $19 on that. Go out and spend $2 at Walgreens for a box of Kleenex.
I know, but you might not be boxes. Near it. And this way, your mittens can also serve as tissue.
And also, you can reuse them. You just wash them and just reuse them.
Hello?
Well, you do that with regular mittens.
That's true.
Yeah.
But these are fluffier, Mary. There's more absorption with these mittens. Okay, so there's a banana phone as well with wireless Bluetooth.
Now we're talking.
Handset. Dave, your favorite fruit is a banana. You
I
eat
love
one
bananas.
Every day.
Yeah.
And this
one
is shaped like a banana. It looks like a real banana there. So I think I can get this for you for the holidays, $39.99.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you might get confused and try to peel that and eat that instead of your real banana.
It's kind of appealing.
I know. And then in case you don't have, you know, that six pack, the abs already, you can order a men's 3D muscle tee for $3.74.
Hello.
It's an automatic six pack. It's, you know, these are fun gifts. If you don't want to spend a lot of money, don't, you know, a lot of people stress about this. These are fun stocking stuffers. Here's also one that's local. Remember Chance the Snapper? I was obsessed with Chance the Snapper, like a lot of people were. And Alligator Rob, our hero of the summer, that was able to capture Chance safely and transport him to Florida. BlockClubChicago.org, a wonderful local news site, says that there is now a Chance the Snapper and Gator Rob coloring book. So this is something you can buy for, I think, adults and kids alike.
I would buy that.
This will be fun. It's only $16, and it's a coloring book for people of all ages, like I said. So this will be great. And a portion of the proceeds from the book will be split between a charity for a crocodilian conservation and a charity for first responders. So in case you're looking for that perfect gift for your coworker, Chance the Snapper and Alligator Rob and their coloring book. So, Viv, I heard you were at a really fun event in Greektown last night.
I was. It was at the National Hellenic Museum. And there are a bunch of vendors that have restaurants here in Chicago, and they came out to do a little tasting.
It's called Cuisina.
Cuisina.
Is there a breaking of the plates? Is there Oppa? Is there flaming Saganaki?
There were just too many people for breaking plates. No,
okay.
there was no breaking plates involved, but there was a ton of people. So a lot of familiar faces. Jane Monzuris was there.
Nice.
Luke Canales was there. Cook County Circuit Judge Kyriakopoulos was there.
Wow.
So there were just a lot of great people catching up with a lot of them. It was great.
Okay, so how do you say it was a great time in Greek?
Perasme poli omorfa.
Okay, just what she said. Okay, right. Joe, we got an awesome delivery. It's a gluten-free bakery called Sweet Alley's, and they dropped some stuff off, right, Joe?
Yeah, they came by yesterday, dropped off some
blueberry lemon bread, some cookies, some toffee bars, some really great stuff. My sister is actually, she has celiac disease, so she can't have wheat, and this is our go-to spot for sweets. SweetAlies.com. They got a few spots, one in Hinsdale, one in Glenview. Check out their website, SweetAlies.com.
Very cool. Well, you know, there's a lot of people with celiac disease and a lot of people that don't have celiacs that just want to eat gluten-free. They feel like it makes them feel better, a little bit lighter, a little bit more active. Yeah, so Sweet Alies, thank you so much for all the goodies. I haven't been able to dig into them just yet, but I will after the show. 13 West 1st Street in Hinsdale, Illinois, and 1107 Waukegan Road in Glenview, Illinois. So they look delicious, right, Viv?
Yes, I want to eat some right now.
So we have a lot coming up in the an 8 o'clock hour. Of course, we've got Dean with more on entertainment. We've also got Breakfast with a Black Hawk, Adam Burrish. And then in studio, we have comedian Christopher Titus. I read the story, and of course, I thought about Mary Vandeveld because she is expecting a grandchild soon. And it is the.
God, you scared me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it is the top. Baby names for 2020. So I'll be revealing some of those in the next couple of hours. So keep it with us right here on WGN 720.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
hello to the great Dean Richards.
Hello.
Hi, Dean.
Good morning to you.
Mr. Cochran is out sick today.
Likely story on a Friday. Oh, it's Friday. I'm sick.
Where are you today, by the way?
I'm at the WGN TV.
Very nice. So you are home.
2501 West Bradley Place.
Very nice. As if you needed to be any more famous, I am hearing that you were featured on Jimmy Kimmel last night.
I wasn't featured. The clip that we played for you the other day, my interview with Matt Damon and Christian Bale, where Matt Damon was making fun of Jimmy Kimmel. Last night, Jimmy Kimmel played the clip. I'm featured on it, but I mean, I'm in the clip, but I'm certainly not the feature of it all. But it's just funny. This Matt Damon and Jimmy Kimmel feud is just one of the funniest things that there is. I woke up this morning to all kinds of tweets and email messages. Hey, man, you were on Kimmel last night. And this is what happened.
I'll tell you who's not on the show tonight. Matt Damon. And you know why he's not? Because he's rude. That loser, he was doing an interview. He's got this new movie, Ford versus Ferrari. And for no reason at all, he uses this movie as a platform to attack me.
The rivalry between Ford and Ferrari was greater or less than the rivalry between Damon and Kimmel?
Well, the Damon-Kimmel rivalry is pretty storied. He doesn't even know what I'm talking about. Jimmy Kimmel's a talk show host.
Is he?
Well, he's a...
No, wait, I thought he was a parking lot owner. All I knew was last night they said, we have to meet in the Kimmel parking lot. So I thought some bloke called Kimmel owned a parking lot.
Yeah. Well, he does. He owns that parking lot, too. And
he's done good for himself.
We were late to the premiere because he let his show out so that we were
on
blocked
purpose.
In. Yeah, because he knew I was having a premiere and he wasn't invited, and so he threw a little hissy fit and clogged us in the parking lot.
Now, that's right.
That's Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, and that's the devil himself is who that is.
So that's funny. I've decided I think I'm going to get a laugh track from everything that we do now. I like that when the audience there was laughing during the interview. So, you know, it's nice. I love Jimmy Kimmel. I think he does a great show. I love Matt Damon. This feud, I cannot get enough of this feud in between them. And if you get a chance today, watch the clip. We've got it on WGNTV.com. And because what's funny is that Jimmy Kimmel took the original clip that I had. They showed it from our morning show. But while Matt Damon was talking, he drew like fake boobs on him.
Oh my goodness!
And he drew like a devil, you know, devil horns, devil horns. And, you know, that's why he said at the end that he's the devil himself. But because it's funny to watch what they did with it as well.
Well, that's what's so great about the fact that you had this rapport to get them to play with you like this, which is very difficult. And, you know, in a junket setting, I mean, pretty incredible. So great job.
A lot of fun. A lot of fun.
So before we get to the reviews, I just wanted to go over the you're going to be doing something special with Tree Time, right?
Yes, we are. We're doing our Sunday show there this week, the full show from 9 to 1. Tree Time Christmas Tree Creations, 22102 Pepper Road in Lake Barrington, to be exact. We always have tons of fun with that. We've got the whole Sunday morning crew will be out there. We've got prizes. We've got music. We've got it's going to be a lot of fun. We always put on a fun show for everybody who shows up. And the past several years, it's been standing room only. So get there early.
That's fantastic.
I would recommend, really, people should get up the night before and camp
just
out.
Just wait in line.
Yeah, camp out in front of Tree Time. We would like nothing better than when we show up you know, early to get set up. That they're, you know, people who've been in line for like 2 days. Go today. Don't even wait till Sunday.
I think that's a good idea. As Dean said.
Go today. Camp out in front of Tree Time so you can be first in line to get
absolutely.
In.
This Sunday, November 10th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., we actually have a giveaway right now. A certificate for a desktop pre-lit sports-themed artificial tree from Tree Time Christmas Creations in Lake Barrington. And by the way, all attendees are going to get a special 15% off Dean's discount off everything that day. So another reason to go.
Dean's discount.
As though anyone needed. What's your favorite number, Dean? What number caller should we give this away?
My favorite number is, I'm a big number 7 fan. People know that about me.
Okay. Yeah. Caller number 7. Yeah. You're going to win.
I've never heard us ask for the 7th caller before.
I know. We do it every day.
I'm just trying to make it easy on Super Joe.
I know.
I want to say 432, but I'm going number 7.
Let's go
so
for it.
So thoughtful of you. Okay. So we've got a couple of reviews. I'm hoping to get through them pretty quickly, Dean. You got Stephen King's Dr. Sleep?
Yeah. I'm calling this the weekend of media. Mediocrity. There are really of the new movies opening this week, nothing is especially great. This sequel to The Shining is pretty much that in name only. This new movie that stars Ewan McGregor it's an okay scary movie. It doesn't come close to being The Shining. There's really not even that much in the movie that relates back to the original movie. So, you know, if you like okay scary movies, I'm giving that a Dean's List C. There's, for the Veterans Day weekend, this movie called Midway. That is a recreation of the famous World War II battle between the American fleet and the Japanese Navy. Beautiful cinematography. Historically, it's you know, very interesting and significant story to tell, recognizing those who were part of it all. But the storytelling itself is just kind of pedestrian. They really don't break any new ground here, so I gave that a Dean's List C. There is this movie, Last Christmas, first holiday season movie of the year, with Emilia Clarke and Henry Gould from Game of Thrones and Crazy Rich Asians, respectively. It's not especially funny. It's not especially romantic. It's okay. I mean, just the movies this weekend are just okay.
Oh, bummer.
I gave that a Dean's List C. Really, the worst movie of the weekend is this one called Playing with Fire. That's about three firefighters. You know, they're like the guys when there's a wildfire. The firefighters come in and rescue people who get trapped by the wildfire. These firefighters who find three kids, and suddenly they go from being elite firefighters to bumbling babysitters. And the movie is just kind of lowest common denominator, not especially funny. You know, kids might like it. I know kids are saying, ooh, I want to see this Playing with Fire. If you take your kids, I recommend really, you know, have a lot of drinks before you take your kids to go see the movie. I give that a Dean's List D.
Rough weekend for the movies.
It's a rough movie for the
from the Dean's the List.
Movie. Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Okay, just one quick plug on something to do this weekend since we're out of time.
There is Oliver that is opening at the Marriott Lincolnshire. One of my favorite musicals. In fact, I think it's the first musical that I ever saw really on stage. They're performing out in Lincolnshire. They always do good productions there. They are actually going to be at our Tree Time show on Sunday.
Nice.
And they're going to do some live performances there. So if you want a little preview, check out Sunday morning.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much, Dean Richards. Don't go to the movies. Just go see Oliver and go to Tree Time on Sunday to see Dean in person.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
How about Breakfast with a Blackhawk on this Friday morning? Dave Bennett, Jisook Yee, Steve Cochran taking the morning off, a little under the weather. We'll be back on Monday. And always a pleasure to talk some Blackhawks hockey with former Blackhawk and currently doing great work on NBC Sports Chicago alongside Pat Boyle and Jamal Mayers and Patrick Sharp and Steve Conroyd. Who am I leaving out? I think that's everybody. Adam Bursch, how are you? Good morning.
I'm doing great. Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. All right. So last night, a little more like it, wasn't it?
Now we're talking finally. There was a lot of great stuff. You got goals. I think one of the biggest things that wasn't talked about a lot is getting Corey Crawford a win, too, or getting their goaltenders a win. Their goaltenders have been so darn good, seeing 35 to sometimes 50 shots a night and having an unbelievable save percentages they've had. And as a player, sometimes you want to reward your goalies and give them something back for kind of bailing you out a lot of nights. And last night was one of those nights where they give them some goal support, they defended well. And you beat a team that you needed to beat. That's a Vancouver team that you should beat. And I can guarantee you all those guys that this is one we have to win. We can't lose to this team. We were going to turn this thing around. This is one we got to win. They showed up, they answered it, and they played a pretty darn fun, exciting game.
You know, I'm glad you brought up Crawford, Adam, because, I mean, here's a guy who's had such an outstanding career. And what he did last night, he's done hundreds of times over the course of his career, and yet he's been a little bit overshadowed to this point by not only the way the Blackhawks have had some struggles in the early part of the season, but also because the play of Robin Leonard's been so good.
Well, it's been a good goalie. You can call it a battle. You can call it a tandem is what I think I would call it. It's been really good for the Blackhawks, and some of the nights when they haven't had their best stuff, it's been pretty exciting to watch those two guys kind of go back and forth in net. And Robin Leonard was a guy they signed with the uncertainty of Corey's health. Corey's been healthy. He's been great when he's played. But a lot of times with coaches and goalies, who's ever hot, if you play good one night, you're going to play again the next night. And if you play good that night, you're going to play. You're just going to keep going. And that's what Jeremy's done with his goalies, and he's had a good problem on his hands, and it's an easy position for the coach. If you play well, you're going to play again, and that pushes each guy a little bit also. They're not selfish guys, and I've said this before. I've played with goalies in the past that are really selfish. It's all about them. They'll say even sometimes, well, it's not my job to worry about that other guy. I don't need to worry about the backup. I'm worried about myself. These two guys aren't like that. They help each other. They talk with each other. They push each other. So it's been a real good situation for the Blackhawks. They're both guys have been awesome, but I can tell you as a forward or a defenseman, you want to help those guys back there and get them wins when you can, and that was one that I'm sure those guys kind of rallied a bit for Corey.
You know, I'm sure all of us have watched this team at times and just thought, come on, especially in the power play, somebody shoot the puck. And one of the things that Jeremy, when he was on with us yesterday, and he's saying again, we need to throw more pucks at the net. And last night, they did that, and you see what happens when they do. It tends to have good results, right?
Yeah, well, last year when they were struggling a bit and that they turned their season around, it was because of the power play. They were clicking at almost right around 30%, which was, you know, for a while, they're tops of the NHL. And you think about the five guys they're throwing on the ice in that number one unit with Kane and DeBrincat. You can throw Strome, Gustafson. And then maybe Nylander in the high, a lot of high-skill guys that want to make plays. The power play time is when guys can be creative and use their skill, and you got a lot of guys that like to pass the puck and that want to make a great backdoor pass and feed Kane or feed DeBrincat, but sometimes you got to be selfish, and you got to have guys that are willing to shoot the puck, and I always think back to Gustafson as the key cog on that power play, and if he's willing to shoot the puck, that opens up the lanes for the other guys to pass it. So having a point man that can really pound it and is willing to pound it That's what you'll see. And then now you'll kind of trigger Alex DeBrincat. When you get it, shoot it, man. Get it on net. Let's get some pucks there, and we're going to score a lot of goals that way. That's what they did last year, and we saw it again last night. It was fun to watch. That's a fun power play. When they get going, that can be one of the most dangerous units in the whole NHL.
No question. Let's bring in Super Joe's got a question for Adam Burrish.
Adam, as Dave said, we talked to the coach yesterday, and he had some great things to talk to say about Adam Boqvist, the young defenseman who made his debut in L.A. last week. What have you seen from the youngster so far?
Super Joe, is that self-proclaimed? Because I call myself the legend sometimes,
you know it, man.
Too, so I like that name. These young guys have been really, really good, and Boqvist, I think at the start of the season, they send him down thinking, well, we got to defend a little better. You know, we've got a lot of offensive guys back there, and their key, the talk we heard this summer was defending better and protecting our defensive zone, and Adam may need to get seasoned a little bit down in the minors and get his defensive game sharpened up. But boy, I don't think he's missed a beat since he's got called up. He's got incredible offensive flair. He can handle the puck about as good as anybody in the league as a defenseman. And he's going to keep getting more and more ice time, and Jeremy's going to keep rewarding him. As long as he defends well and makes good decisions, he's going to keep seeing a lot of ice time, because he plays the way this NHL is going now, where it's defensemen that are almost like a fourth forward. They can jump up in the play. And the other neat piece with him is he's a really fun guy in the locker room. He's a guy his teammates are really going to like. He's got a great personality. He's fun. He's got a little bit of an old-school edge to him with a little bit of swagger, which I think is great. And I know his teammates do appreciate that about him, but he's been a real bright spot. And for fans watching, he's a guy that's going to be an exciting player to watch. He's going to jump up in the play. And as he gets more and more confidence, watch out for this guy, because with his confidence growing, his ice time's going to grow, and he's going to make some pretty exciting plays for this team.
Well, thanks so much, Adam. Just real quick, this is G. This is my non-sports question. What do you eat for breakfast, since it is breakfast with the Blackhawks?
Yeah, this morning I was trying to be kind of healthy, and I just had like a green protein smoothie. So I had a big nice steak dinner last night. So I thought I'd keep it a little light this morning, and I put some kale in there, some strawberries, some protein powder. So I thought I'd kind of keep it light and healthy this morning.
Love it, light and healthy, just like you. Thank you, Adam.
You bet.
Thanks.
All right, what a treat. We have a comedian Christopher Titus here, otherwise just known as Titus.
Is it a treat? Is it really
it
a treat?
Truly
are you
is.
Gonna say that, everybody?
Thank
it's a
you
treat.
So much for coming in and
well,
being with
thank
us.
Thank you for
in
not
studio.
Having Steve Cochran here. I just didn't. I told them. I said, listen, I think he dated my sister or something. We have a pet history, and I said I'm not coming in if Cochran's in there. So I'm here.
He's under the weather. I know he's missing out. He really wanted to be here.
He's listening right now going, I don't even know what Titus. What's going on?
You are known for a comedy that you've labeled hard funny. You have...
hard funny is one of those things when you laugh first and then you look around and make sure it's okay to laugh. That's what I try to do. I try to do a joke. There's three jokes in this new show, Stories I Shouldn't Tell, which are three. I solve suicide in this new show, and there's three of the darkest jokes I've ever written about my sister. And I warned the audience about it. The first night I did it, I'm in the middle of it, and some guy just yells out, I get to those jokes, and he goes, there it is! There they are! So, yeah.
You write about things that you unfortunately experienced in your life. It's
you know,
not easy stuff.
Is it unfortunately? It's weird. Comedy is this one thing. Like I'm a huge fan of Pryor and Carlin. Carlin, for his writing, Pryor, by the way, would go to tell the darkest stories you could possibly tell. There's a story he tells on one of the Sunset Strip album where he's basically in a fight with his wife. He's blowing holes in a Rolls Royce with a .44 Magnum in front of white L.A. police officers. And now, when you've put it like that, especially in the world we live in, that's a dark story, and it's one of the funniest things you've ever seen. So I did Comedy Lame for about 12 years, and then I just gave it up. I was going to quit because I wasn't happy. I call it growing a tumor on my soul. I hated doing the comedy I was doing. You know, to the point where I'd have a joke coming in that I was going to say, and I was like, oh God, I don't want to say this lame joke again. And I would say it, and I was doing fine. I threw it all out, and I wrote Norman Rockwell's Bleeding. After Norman Rockwell's Bleeding, I got my TV show, and all I was doing was telling what really happened. Like this new show, when I was a kid, my parents are divorced. And when you're from divorced parents, you know you have a good parent and a bad parent, right? And that's why you have a personality, by the way, because of the bad parent. The problem is that, because, you know, people that get along fine, have the same amount of success, don't get divorced. They buy a motorhome and die together in a campground in a weird propane explosion. That's what happens to them. So you have a weird parent. So I had two bad parents. Mm-hmm. You know, so I had to grade on a curve. And if you have two bad parents, you have to come up with a baseline. Who's the bad parent? So but
initially, were you just a funny kid? Was this your outlet?
No, I was a funny kid. You know, I learned when I was five that I could divert everything. I could divert.
So it's about surviving.
Getting in trouble, yeah, if I was funny. And I was never going to be cool. I knew I was never going to fit in and be cool. But if I was funny, I would be accepted. They would let me in the room. So I learned that. I was the dude in school who, I was in a class clown. I would sit there. I'd be quiet for 2 weeks. And then the perfect thing would happen. I'd slam the whole crowd and bust up, and then I'd wait two more weeks.
Since you've been in here, you've mentioned Carlin to us a couple times off the air, too.
Yeah.
And you just mentioned Pryor and a couple other names. Were those the guys who influenced you when you were a kid?
I used to listen to Cosby records when I was five. I would go to sleep every night listening to Bill Cosby. And I made a decision. I still remember that my mom was mentally ill, in and out of mental institution my whole life. She actually shot and killed her third husband. So you guys are caught up now. look at the look.
Are we allowed
face.
To laugh? That's
yes.
You well, start sorry, laughing.
She shot her third husband. I say, you know, her last husband. I say last husband because you don't get another one after that. They take you out of the husband wish book at that point. It's just a hard person lad to get answered.
Do you find that with your audience, though? Do they start to say, oh, this is funny? They start to laugh, and then they stop laughing, and they start laughing again.
It's weird. Yeah, people will be like, I can't, but this new show, there's some stuff about, my mom used to take me to bars with her when I was four. I went with her to bars. I mean, I'd go with her. She would take me. I wasn't like, Mom, it's 10:30. It's like, where's the party? Come on, let's go. I'm four.
Time for an old fashioned.
And she took me to bars with her because babysitters cost three drinks
right,
an hour.
Right. Oh man, that's so funny,
now,
but it's so bad.
I know. See that? That's hard. Funny. What you just did? You laughed, and then your face got pained. You were
"Oh
no." The thing is that there's two ways to do it. There's comics that can get up and talk about the pain in their life, and it comes across as pain. I talk about it as, this is absurd. Like, this is my life. I get left in an airport when I was 5 years old, over in Burbank Airport, left overnight. And my mom she was crazy. She just didn't show up to get me. So the stewardess is there, and she sits with me the hour. It's like 9, 10 o'clock, and the stewardess has to go date someone like my dad, so she bails. And she turned me over to Burbank ground crew. So here's what and you remember when you were a kid and the first time you went to an airport and you saw the luggage
so
come
amazing.
Out of these luggage and you thought, I could ride that?
Uh-huh.
I got to ride that. These Burbank ground crew didn't know what to do. So I'm a 5-year-old kid. They take me into the bowels of the airport, put me in a box, and I rode the conveyor belts, the luggage conveyor belts, all night like it was a roller coaster. And Carousel 3, The Widowmaker, hell yeah. That was by far. And at one point, I was like, I hope that creep mom doesn't show up. I'm having a blast. So I always found a way. So Cosby told stories about his life. So my canon is Cosby.
Are you allowed to still?
I haven't sexually assaulted anybody.
Okay,
by the way, before we knew who he was, Cosby. Right. But storytelling I learned from Cosby. But my stories were different. Like I don't have normal stories. I don't have normal stories at all.
And you've been able to separate the man from the comedy with Cosby.
No, that's the problem with comedy. You know, you can do that with music because music is forever and comedy's temporary. Comedy is such a personal thing. There's musicians that can sing songs from other people. Comedy doesn't really work that well like that. You have to be honest about it. And so the guy we know as Cosby is hard for me to deal with now when I listen, going mm-hmm. through the filter of who we really know he is. I have that with a lot of comics where you find out this comic, I love this, like there's some comics that have gotten in trouble recently that I thought were brilliant, and I still think they're brilliant as comedians, but I can no longer listen to their comedy through the filter of who they are. It changes it. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, comedian absolutely. Christopher Titus, can you stick around?
I want to hear more about the conveyor belt.
I'm
fascinated by that story.
Now, since we've made comedy not funny. When we come back, I'll make comedy funny again. Here we
All
go.
Right. Comedian Christopher Titus in town and in studio. What are you here doing?
I'm doing the minutiae stories I shouldn't tell. It used to be called stories I couldn't tell, but then a bunch of people died, so there's going to be less lawyers involved. I'm excited about it.
And where will you be? Where can people go buy tickets?
The Chicago Improv in Schaumburg. I'll be doing it. And we got two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow, one show Sunday. And I got to be honest with you, this show is such a weird show because it's this weird callback. Like it's from when I was a kid all the way through when I'm an adult with my kids. And it's really, it's the weirdest show I've ever done because it was the darkest show I've ever had to write.
Really?
Yeah, it's by far the darkest.
Even darker than everything else?
The Norman Rockwell's bleeding. My wife says, she's also a comedian, she says, yeah, this show makes Norman Rockwell look like a puppet show.
Now, what is it like being married to dueling comedians? Your wife is a comedian. Do you guys help each other out with the writing?
Not really. She's funny on her own. She ran comedy clubs for a while, and we're going to film her special in February. She ran comedy clubs, and then she started giving me jokes. Like, we started dating, and she was giving me jokes.
And I bet that was sexy.
No, I was so offended.
No,
I was so offended. No, I'm sorry. Hey, I'm the comedian. You run the clubs. Shut up. Thank you very much.
I thought for sure you'd be like a woman that's on my level.
I'm still taking that joke because it's a really good joke, but just, you don't need to help me. And then one day I turned to her. One of her jokes was, she said this. She goes, I had a friend in college who was a cutter. When she was naked, she looked like a harshly graded test paper. And I looked at her.
No.
Comedians don't laugh. Here's what comedians do. Someone tells a good joke, we go, wow, that's really funny. Like, we see the mechanics of it and go, that's awesome. So I told her, I said, you need to get on stage and do comedy. And she's like, I don't want to do comedy. I said, no, you need to go on stage. So she said, okay. She wrote this show called Pajamas and Other Things That I'm at War With. And then she wouldn't get on stage. And I have this weird thing, like being a comic since I was a teenager, it's like, it's weird. Like, you have to hustle, right? And she wouldn't get on stage. And I have this thing, if you won't back you up, how are you going to back me up? You know? So I went and entered her in a comedy competition. And I didn't tell her. And That was her reaction. I came on and go, by the way, you're doing a comedy competition. And she was like, what? You can't. She said, oh my God, you can't do that. You can't just enter me. I decide when I'm getting on stage. And then she goes, here's when I got her. She turns, she goes, when is it? And I was like, ha 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 ha. So now she's awesome. And she's awesome. And also, she didn't have to suffer in a sense that she had to do these horrible gigs, but she had to work with me. And comedy to me is a religion. Comedy, stand up comedy is a religion to me. Man, you do it. You do it as best you can. You don't do it dirty. And, you know, if don't do anything that Red Fox did better in 1961. Try to come up with the next thing. So anyway, this new show is it was really tough to write this show because the first 10 times I did it on stage, because it's all about the darkest stuff that happened in my life. And just to give you credit, my wife is the one who inspired me to do it. She's like, you can't talk. You're not talking about your sister's suicide. You're not talking about this stuff. She goes, you say you're Mr. Edgy, but you won't talk about this other stuff. You didn't talk about when you got kidnapped. And I'm like, I got kidnapped as a kid.
Yeah. Whoa. How many more things could happen to you? You are a testament.
Wait a minute. Was this before or after you rode the conveyor belts all night at the airport?
This was before, actually. No. This is after. My mom sent me to live. So after there's a bar incident too. I was in a bar. I got picked up by LAPD when I was four because my mom had disappeared. So when I was four in a bar, no one bothered, and it didn't bother anybody because my mom was super hot. So my uncles would overlook it. And these guys,
air quotes on uncles, by the way.
Air quotes, yeah. So these guys would just keep me distracted. So they could hit on my mom. They would just give me Cokes because it's easy to control a toddler when he's in a sugar coma.
Oh, no.
And they would pack these Cokes with these bar cherries. Do you get bar cherries?
Yeah.
That is not fruit. Cherries were invented in a lab at Dow Chemical. There is no that cause tumors in cinder blocks. For those of us out there that went to bars with our parents as children, there needs to be a class action suit because of bar cherries. Just a guy comes on the TV. Hi, did you eat a lot of bar cherries as a child? To this day, do you still crap fuchsia and see dragons when you sleep? Well, you could be entitled to compensation. Call the bar cherry hotline at 1-800. Mom's still in rehab.
But you are a testament to surviving. What's so special about you that you were able to come out of that unscathed to the point that you're successful?
Please.
You're talented and you've made it.
Please do not assume I'm unscathed. Yeah, have you spent more than 10 minutes with me? I smarted off to the network president. That's why I didn't get my show. That is why my show got canceled. There's people in this business that'll be like, Titus is a little intense. I'm a little intense. I did a thing called the Landmark Forum, which helped me a lot. My buddy here that lives in Chicago, my buddy Marshall, who's like this awesome dude, he got me in this thing called the Landmark Forum. He met me and he was like, dude, you got all this stuff with your parents and your dad. You need to deal with it. And had I not seen my life in an absurd way, I probably would be writing it. This whole show is about tragedy. Listen, we all have tragedies. That's one thing that makes us the same. We're all going to die. Guess what? We're all going to die. Death is a bitch, but he ain't a racist. Everybody, all of us. It's the one thing that makes us the same. So all this tragedy, here's how life goes. Birth, life, tragedy, life, tragedy, life, tragedy, death. A lot of people have a tragedy happen and they continue to live the tragedy. You know, my mom died. Oh my God, when did that happen? 14 years ago? Really? Are you still this upset about it? I mean, we're all sad, but I get it. And you have to live between the tragedies. And that's what I've chosen to do. It's going to happen. A nightmare is going to happen. You know, when I was four, I was hanging with my uncles. My mom had gone out in the back with one of my uncles to have a naked meeting in his office or Dodge Dart. So they had disappeared. And I was like, like most 4-year-olds in a bar at midnight. I started to look for my mom, and I walked out the front door of the bar on Victory Boulevard in Los Angeles. And I start walking on the street, and I got picked up by the LAPD, and they're like, "Why do you smell like vodka?" I go, "That's in a Harvey Wallbanger, because that's what mom drinks."
And
they knew I was lost. They didn't think I was like I was turning tricks or anything. You know, I mean, unless I was a prodigy, and my lips were red from the bar cherries. So. I like that's hard funny. See what he just did? He burst out laughing. Absolutely. And then he dropped his head in his hand and he went, "Oh my God."
I totally did.
So when I wrote this show, like you brought up something, we were off there. You said that does it upset you to talk about this stuff? Usually not, only for the first 5 or 6 shows. So this show's all about losing my kids and my divorce and all it comes back around. First 5 or 6 shows, I walked backstage and I put my head down on the couch and I was almost going to burst into tears. And then about the 7th, 8th show, it all went away and the jokes made my life absurd, so it no longer has any pain connected to it. And so we don't need therapy. Everybody just needs to take a stand-up comedy class. That's all.
And I think you sold me.
And I think a good place to start is at your shows. Yes. Can you plug them one more time? Yeah. Dave and I could talk to you for hours, but we're...
Oh, do me a favor. Yeah. Bring your pain to the Schaumburg Improv, and I will heal you with the power of comedy. Come to the show. We will talk about pain, suicide, and we will give the light to your hearts and minds, and you can have drinks.
This is the kind of proselytizing I really enjoy. Bravo! Comedian Christopher Titus, go see his show. Comedian Christopher Titus, was that a jolt of energy or what, Dave?
You know, it's amazing. He's rattling off these horrible things that have happened to him. But he's got a smile on his face the whole time.
And then you and I are laughing and feeling bad that we're laughing, and that's what he was talking about.
I laughed, and then I felt bad, and then I laughed some more.
I know. He was an incredible guest. We've got a lot more for you coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. We've got Kelly Rizzo in studio. She does these awesome travel guides, and she just recently went to New Orleans, the Big Easy. Have you been, Dave?
I was there when the Bears were in the Super Bowl there in 1985. That's the only time in my life I've been there.
You've got to go back.
Yeah, I do.
You're going to have some beignets and some po' boys and all of that.
I'm Kelly Rizzo, and my extreme passion for food, travel, and music fuels my entire life. From growing up in a Sicilian family in Chicago who raised me to explore and expand my palate, to learning everything I can about the travel industry and putting it to use, and spending my years immersed in the culture and lifeblood that is rock and roll, I now want to share it all with you. Come with me to experience the hottest destinations of food, travel, and music around the world. It's time to eat, travel, rock.
Lightning and the thunder, thunder, thunder.
Okay, I think that explains it all, what Kelly Rizzo does. But in case you're not familiar with her and her work, I think people should know that you're local. You're a local gal.
Yeah, I mean, I lived here my entire life for 38 years until I just moved to LA a couple years ago, but I'm still, I mean, aren't you guys kind of sick of me already? I'm back every single month.
No, we love you. Come and see us anytime. Dave actually insists on it, and it's in his contract.
So, yes. I'm very flattered. Thank you, Dave.
So how are you adjusting to life out in LA? Is it super different?
It has to be different. I mean, having a car for the first time in 7 years, mm-hmm. and not being able to just to walk everywhere. And, you know, a fire or two that makes you evacuate your house for 10 days.
Did you guys have to evacuate?
12 houses on our street burned down.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It was very dicey there for a little bit.
You were able to come back?
I haven't been back yet because we couldn't go home. And then I knew I was coming here, so I just had to come straight here. And Bob had to go into our house with a police escort because they weren't letting people back in, just to say, like, please, can we get some clothes and some items because we were both traveling. And so he packed my suitcase, you know, so You know, what I'm wearing today is courtesy of him. So thanks,
he
Bob.
He did a nice job. Yeah, this is Bob Saget, by the way.
No, he did all right.
This is the Bob you're mentioning.
Exactly. The hubby. But yeah, it was very scary there for a little bit. So that's something you're not used to coming from the Midwest, like all these, you know, the earthquakes and the fires that can literally have your home be not there the next day.
Do you... Are you planning to come back often in the wintertime?
Well, after this week and these couple of days of 20-degree weather that I haven't felt in a little bit, I mean, you know, that's not going to keep me away.
Good. There's nothing like home.
It's just
sweet home Chicago, right?
Pack, you know, more scarves and hats and fluffier coats.
And good thing you are a traveling expert, so you know exactly how to pack.
That is true.
I'm a pro. Yeah, tell us about this new series. You talked a little bit about it before, but in case somebody missed it, about these quick travel guides that you have.
Yeah, so on my Instagram at eattravelrock and on my website, eattravelrock.com, I've been coming up with these like quick reference, at-a-glance travel guides because I'm constantly asked, you know, where are your favorite restaurants here? Or where's your favorite hotel here? And like, you know what? Instead of personally putting together these lists for people all the time, let me just come up with these travel guides, have it all in one place. And these are like my tried and true and tested favorite spots in, I think I have 10 cities. Most are domestic, and then there's a few international cities as well. So yeah, they're in my Instagram highlights and then on my website too. And it's just like a quick, you could just take a screenshot of it on your phone, and then you have all my favorite restaurants, travel tips, things to do, activities, and hotels.
And your latest one is on the beautiful city of New Orleans, which I think is, it feels like you're in a different country when you visit New Orleans.
You really feel like you're in kind of old world Paris, and it's, you know, with a very unique cuisine as well. And not only did I just release that travel guide, but yesterday I just released a new episode of my show on, so you can see that on my Instagram too. And it goes through how to take a quickie trip to New Orleans from A to Z. And it really shows, you know, all the best activities. And I ate at 19 different restaurants in 2.5 days.
How
is that crazy? So a lot of them are documented on there. So if you're thinking of going to New Orleans, this is a very helpful guide.
Well, I love that these are super easy to digest. It's not something you have to like take a ton of time.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
They're just right at your fingertips.
So super easy. Let's talk a little bit about how you started, because you're really self-made. You're an entrepreneur. You created this business yourself and you really built it up. What made you decide to create your own business?
Well, it's funny because I'd always, let's say, been my own boss. I was always, you know, never had a typical 9-to-5 situation because my family, still, they're in real estate. And, you know, my parents have been in real estate here in Chicago for 45 years. And I worked with them for years, like almost 20 years. And I liked the flexibility of doing my own thing. But then after the market crashed and things got really difficult and I just got really burnt out on it, I'm like, I'm just going to switch gears and do something that I'm really passionate about that is more me. And I'm like, well, what do I love? Food, travel, music. And so I'm like, let's start a blog. You know how 5-10 years ago, that's what everyone was doing. And but it was still new in terms of the term, like influencer hadn't even been coined yet.
You were before all of that happened.
So I started the blog, and then I knew I wanted to do more on camera work. But then it all kind of just started snowballing. You know, I started working with Chantel, my producer, and we started just making these videos where we're traveling around or exploring new restaurants, new destinations, working with tourism boards. And then it really just kind of turned into, you know, a business in a sense that it was now my full-time job. You know, I probably don't run it as some of those like really hardcore bloggers do, where they're really like making an income from their blog. Like, that's not really what I'm doing. It's more of these like experiential based projects that I work with, and it's been fun.
Well, we're talking to travel expert Kelly Rizzo. She does a lot of other things as well. Kelly, can you stick around for a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Kelly Rizzo, travel expert and social media influencer, businesswoman. Do you like that term, social media influencer?
You know what? It's, I have mixed feelings about it, and my feelings about it go in waves. Like one day I hate it, and the next day I like it. Some days I usually use like the air quotes when I say I'm like influencer, you know, when I refer to myself, because in some ways it's, I don't want to be lumped into that category, because a lot of influencers, they're just on Instagram, or they're just, let's say, a blogger, where obviously, you know, I kind of, you know, go into different arenas. So sometimes I feel like it can kind of pigeonhole somebody. However, you know, it is accurate. And in the sense of, how else do you describe if you are kind of, part of your living is made on social media? I mean, that is what it's called. So I don't know.
You're a lifelong Chicagoan, yes. Now recently living in LA. And we were just talking about the fires during the break. Oh my goodness. Man. I hope your house is going to be okay.
The house is okay. It smelled a little funky for a few days. My husband's been airing it out while I've been gone. So he goes, it'll be good by the time you get back.
Now, when you started this new business, you never thought that you would be a social media influencer. It was before all of this sort of happened.
Yeah, it didn't exist. This entire industry didn't even exist yet.
So what is your advice for people that want to be a social media influencer? What's your advice for someone that wants to start their own business? Is the market too saturated now to make money off of social media and blogging?
Well, I think that there's always room for people with an authentic voice, and there's always room for people that truly have something to say. If you are, let's say, wanted to be a fashion blogger or a fashion Instagrammer, and you're just starting now and you don't even have an Instagram account yet, it's going to be a little difficult because Instagram has changed so much and evolved over the last several years, where before it used to be so easy to like grow and gain a following, and now it's so difficult. I mean, most people, unless you're, you know, hitting it big with, you know, you're going on Bravo and getting your own housewives show or something like that, you know, you're not going to go from zero to a million Instagram followers overnight like people used to do. However, it doesn't mean that you can't still grow a following of people that are truly interested in what you have to say. And I'd rather have 1,000 engaged, authentic, true followers that like really listen to you and appreciate what you're saying than a million followers who don't, you know, really value your creative input and, you know, what you're doing there. So, you know, and I think a lot of brands nowadays, if you're thinking of getting into this business because you want some brand deals, a lot of brands are looking at that too. They'd rather see high engagement. They'd rather see your followers really, truly, you know, commenting and really liking and actually following what you're, you know, if you're like, oh, this is a great, you know, sweater, this is a great moisturizer, whatever it is. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not in that world. However, if that's what you're pitching and that's what you're promoting, that you're actually influencing people to go and buy that product. And if you're doing that really effectively to 1,000 people, brands would rather see that than ineffectively doing that to 100,000 people.
So I think authenticity is key, is what you're saying.
It's everything.
When you first started, you didn't have all of these connections established because you were just beginning.
Right.
How did you get those interviews with celebrities and get people to talk to you about maybe sponsoring a trip or doing?
I think it came a little bit from my real estate background in the fact that I was in sales. And I was never afraid to ask for the sale, and I wasn't afraid of hearing no. I was very confident in talking to, you know, the CEO of a corporation or a celebrity, or, you know, I never had that fear. And also, I was a little older. You know, I didn't get started in this until I was in my, let's say, early mid-30s. And so I already had that, like, confidence established where I would talk to anybody. So I think that helped. And also, before really getting into this, I did have a lot of connections in, let's say, like, the country music world and in Nashville, because that's really also when I first started who I was interviewing. I was interviewing a lot of country music stars.
And were they more accessible? Too. Were they friendlier?
Yeah,
maybe,
I mean,
perhaps.
You meet them at Joe's Bar.
Yeah.
You know, you go to Joe's Bar, you hang out there, and you're backstage, or I was working with Joe's Bar and doing some interviews there. So I'd meet all these people, and then I'd hang out in Nashville all the time, and they become your friends, and then it's really easy to ask a friend for an interview.
So you have your travel guides, you're traveling all over the world. What else is on the docket in terms of your business and growth?
a lot more travel, I would say.
Where do you want to go?
Well, let's see.
Next.
Where do I want to go? I really want to go back to Japan, so I'm trying to figure that out. But I think there might be an Asia trip on the horizon. I'm really excited. I'm doing a ski trip in Central Oregon in January, and they have, I mean, they're like famous for their outdoors, and they've got incredible like outdoor experiences there, and like Mount Bachelor's there, so I'm going to do a ski trip there.
Nice.
And film there, and that's kind of what's in the next couple months, an Asia trip and Oregon.
Love it.
So if you had, say, a moderate budget, 72 hours, and price of the airfare was not an object, where would you go?
That's interesting. I would probably do New Orleans. Like, I just went because that's exactly what I had. I had 72 hours, but my favorite new tip and trick is Hotwire. They have, changed the game. I have gotten hotel, like my last 10 hotels that I booked through Hotwire, and I get probably about 50% off because you don't know your exact hotel until you book, if you use their like hot rate deals. And I swear it saved me so much. My hotel here this week would have been $275 a night, and I got it for like $150 a night for 7 days straight. So that's my tip for wherever you want to go. But they also have their quickie guides on there where they can give you some direction for a 72-hour trip.
I love it. Kelly Rizzo, travel expert. We always love it when you're in. Where can people find you again? One more plug.
EatTravelRock.com and at EatTravelRock on Instagram.
Fantastic. Be sure to go to her sites for her quick travel guides. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, guys.
And we're going to take a quick break right here on WGN 720. All week, we've been talking about the great organization Let It Be Us. It's a nonprofit that's dedicated to changing the landscape of foster care and adoption in Illinois. Their mission is to inspire foster care and adoption. Of course, we have a show connection to Let It Be Us, and that is the Ross Cochran. Hi, Ross.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm happy
sorry
to be here.
Your dad's not here for you.
No, it's the only time in my life he's ever let me down.
I'm sure you'll not let him forget.
Oh, yeah. No. We're not. Yeah. We're
Can you
starting.
Elaborate a little bit on Let It Be Us?
Yeah. So Let It Be Us is a, at our core, we are a recruiting and a marketing agency. We are advocates for children in foster care in the state of Illinois. We exist to bridge some of the communication gaps that come up so that children who need homes are able to be connected to parents who are ready, willing, and able to love them. We equip and engage new foster parents, and we also host the marketing side of the Heart Gallery with our partners at DCFS and the Center of Law and Social Work for children who are already available for adoption.
You've brought a couple of guests in with you today, including Ken Hoving, and you are an adoptee.
That's correct.
And how did you get involved with Let It Be Us?
It started actually not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Susan Stoga, who has kids that go through Barrington High School where I work, I kind of found out through other people that she was involved in this. And so it kind of piqued my interest. I kind of waited for a while to find the right time to bring it up to her. And then I kind of mentioned, said, hey, I know you're involved in this. Just want to let you know my kind of history. And as soon as I said it, she immediately jumped and said, okay, well, can we talk more? And then told me what it was about, and then I went and spoke at one of their mm-hmm. functions. It obviously went well. And then she's like, hey, we'd actually have other things if you're interested. And I said, absolutely. If I can share my story and help others, I'd love to.
We'd love to hear a little bit about your story.
Okay.
You were not, you were in the foster care system. And how old were you when you entered it?
I was about 4 years old. So I was, myself and my four other siblings were removed from our home around age four and a half. We actually went to a place called Hepzibah, which is in Oak Park, a nice a home there. And from there, went a variety of different foster homes for a while. And my twin and I ended up in a home, which ended up adopting us. But we didn't actually get adopted till age 14, so just before high school started.
Wow. Okay, we're going to hear more about Ken's story and more about Let It Be Us. So keep it right here on WGN 720. Ken Hoving and Ross Cochran, both affiliated with Let It Be Us, a nonprofit organization dedicated to changing the landscape of foster care and adoption in Illinois. Before we continue with your story, Ken, you have two special guests that we need to introduce. Would you like to introduce them?
Absolutely. So right here I have Alexa, who's 4. Can you say hi, Alexa?
Hi.
And then Julia, who's 7.
Hi.
Hi, Julia. Hi, Alexa. Are you excited to be here today?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. And how are you guys related?
Oh, these are my daughters.
That's right. Are you proud of your dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you love most about your dad?
He's funny. He tricked us to going to Florida.
He tricked you to going to Florida? That sounds like a good trick.
We were at North Carolina, and then he tricked us, and then my dad said that we were gonna be at our neighbor's dad work, but we wasn't. And then when I looked behind us, I saw my friend Molly, and then. And then when my dad pointed out the window, I saw the castle, and then I started screaming.
Which castle is this, Dad?
This is the main castle at United Kingdom.
Fantastic. Oh, my goodness. Sounds like a good dad. Yeah. A lot of kudo points from us. But your story is pretty incredible. You entered the foster care system at age 4 with your twin brother, and then you were adopted at age 14.
Correct.
That was 10 years. Can you describe a little bit about the transition from being in foster care to finally finding a family and being adopted?
Yes. I mean, obviously, we were, I'd say, in the lucky minority. We were at Hepzibah in that home for probably about a year, year and a half-ish, going different homes. And obviously, none of them seemed to work out. And then after about that year, year and a half mark, we ended up with the family that we ended up with for adoption. They took us in, and we were there for quite a long time. We weren't sure what was happening. But then over time, by the time we got to, like I said, age 14, they decided to ask us and give us the choice on whether or not we wanted to be adopted. And of course, we both chose that route.
I'm sure this can't be stated enough, but how much did it change your life?
I would not be where I'm at today. With my family, my career, I think everything pretty much involved around, you know, them taking a chance on my twin and I. And to be honest, to take a chance on two people is rare, especially with twins. But my career alone, I mean, the opportunities that I have had growing up and being able to go to a nice high school, go to college, biologically the only one to go to college and graduate.
You have 2 master's degrees.
Correct. And I'm actually starting my 3rd one in January.
Wow, overachiever much.
Yeah, well.
So if someone's listening right now, and I do think that you have to have a sense of calling in order to go into the foster care and program, what would you just say to somebody that's feeling like, man, I feel like I could do this, but I just don't feel like things are quite in place right now? What would you say to them?
I would say it's definitely a risk. It's always a risk going into the foster, especially the foster to adopt, because you don't know each time. And I think a lot of people get turned off if they take that risk and it doesn't work out. Both parties have to be ready when that time comes. It's they're coming in with baggage that you won't understand. And being able to be patient and communicate through that and understand it is the hardest part. Because for us, obviously, we went through some homes before we ended up where we ended up. But it took time. And we knew that it's almost like you're interviewing each other. It's a long-term interview. You're interviewing them, they're interviewing you. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It doesn't mean either side is wrong. It just means it wasn't time.
Last word, Russ. I know it's got to be rewarding if you do it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no. I just, you know, one of the things that why we find at Let It Be Us Ken's story so valuable is that it helps break down the most common misconception that a child who's in foster care is never going to be able to be a leader in their community, never going to be able to have a great family of their own. You know, by taking a chance on a child like that, you're able to make a leader in their community like Ken possible.
And where can people find more information?
LetItBeUs.org.
Okay, thank you so much to Ross Cochran and to Ken Hoving with Let It Be Us. Of course, Bill and Wendy are coming up next.